Today's segment of Sound Balming is brought to you by Jimmy and Mary's Authentic Body Care. I cannot express to you how much we love, love, love their products. Although we use them all year, as the weather gets colder, we need these products even more. The dreaded drop in temperature, the dryness, the itchiness, and the unnecessary flakiness is inevitable. Shea Butter from Jimmy and Mary's Authentic Body Care is the only thing that works for my skin and hair needs. Not only do these products cure my dry skin, the whipped butter goes on smoothly and doesn't leave that uncomfortably thick, sticky residue. Bonus? It smells absolutely amazing. There are so many different scents to choose from, too. Not only do they carry skincare products, there are products for authentic living, face, shower, hair and beard, spritzers and perfumes, and bath products. Let me tell you, we cannot even keep the stuff in the studio. The entire production team, as well as all our children, use Jimmy and Mary's product. Jimmy and Mary's take pride in creating quality, handcrafted products from simple ingredients for the entire family. Their products are made for all skin types and are 100% handmade, 100% vegan, and 100% cruelty-free. Skincare is important. Moisture is key, and keeping our skin and hair hydrated is essential. I cannot emphasize how much we trust Jimmy and Mary's for all of our skincare needs. Hurry on up to jimmyandmarys.com and check out their products. Did I mention service is fast and efficient too? Don't forget to mention that you heard about Jimmy and Mary's authentic skincare on Sound Balming. Use the discount code SOUNDBALM20 to get 15% off. That's SOUNDBALM20 for 15% off at Jimmy and Mary's Authentic Skin Care.
Hey everybody, welcome to Sound Balming. I created this show for people who want to experience a radical, life-changing journey through the sounds of my diverse guests. I hope that each sound you hear on this show will strengthen your faith, encourage your dreams, and challenge you to awaken the greatness within you.
Drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
We're gonna drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
We're gonna drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
We come to drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new values, and a new experience.
Lamar Darnell Shields.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are today. Welcome to another exciting edition of Sound Balming. My name is Dr. Lamar Darnell Shields, and I'm the creator of Sound Balming. And my goal with this show is to introduce you to people with the ideas that will help you unlock your full potential. Just like last week when we had Dan Polino, and he definitely helped us to unlock our full potential. I know you have the power to do whatever you can, and I want to be of assistance to you, not just because I have any superpowers that are special. No, it's because I bring on some of the most amazing people, and they do that. Just like the organization out of Denver, Colorado, my good friend Alicia Cook, the executive director of Friends First. And I want to just thank her for sending me this shirt. I love this shirt. I've had this shirt for a very long time. And it makes a lot of sense because today we're going to talk about ourselves. And I love this shirt. It says, be your own selfie. So if you're looking for a mentor, I'm telling you, and you have young people that you're working with, and we need some mentors and mentees around this time, this is a great organization. Shout out to Friends First and Alicia Cook and all the great things that they're doing. And thank you all for sharing the shirt with me. Be your own selfie. I love that. And so I want to welcome all of you all to the show. Some of you all are new, so thank you for coming and joining us in the bomb shelter. And for my old heads, thank you. My bombers, thank you for coming back. You know what time it is. Before we start off any show, we always like to kick off with our breathing exercise, our three breaths. I want to prepare you for that. So get in a comfortable position, whatever that is, and just put your feet on the floor and just sit back and relax and roll your shoulders back and put your palms on your lap and allow your palms to face up as in a position of receiving, because I am going to virtually give you a gift and we're going to exchange some gifts. And we'd like to share this energy to really set the foundation for the day, because I don't know what type of energy you're bringing and vice versa, but I think you know I'm bringing some good energy and I'm sure you're bringing a positive energy. That's why I'm wearing my shirt, Be Your Own Selfie. So let's go. All right, we're gonna inhale through our nose. Inhale. We're gonna hold it for 3 seconds. Exhale. We're gonna go a little deeper on the second inhalation. 5 seconds, inhale through our nostrils. Exhale through our mouths. Now we're going to go a little deeper. We're going to go 10 seconds. Inhale. Hold it for 10 seconds. Exhale. And bombers, what do we call that? We call that the breath of life. So thank you for breathing with me. And since we're talking about breath, let's talk about our getting our breath taken away. Many of us have been in love and our breaths have been taken away by somebody, but falling in love is the easy part, right? The challenge for couples is how to rekindle the fires of romance from time to time and cultivate the mature, trusting love that is the hallmark of a lasting relationship. No matter how strong your relationship is, maintenance is important. Just like you get maintenance on your car, maintenance on your body, maintenance on your hair, it is very, very important. I used to, one of my favorite movies called Love Jones. And I remember in the scene when a guy said, they always talk about falling in love, but teach us how to stay in love. And even though great relationships can become complacent or stagnant, if you don't put in the work, I know this firsthand, if you don't put in the work. So putting some effort into finding ways to improve your relationship can be so important for making it in the long haul. On the most basic level, you want to make sure you're getting enough quality time together. But if you're looking for ways to make your relationship happier and healthier, you are in the right place at the right time with two of the right people. It's going to take more than just hours just to spend in the same room with one another. It has to be some concerted effort. And because of that, I brought on my friend Jerchenko, who's going to talk about his amazing work. He's going to talk about the little shifts that can make a big difference in a relationship. Jed helps busy professionals find their work, life, and rhythm, connect with those who matter most to grow their relationship, their leadership, and thrive. This includes helping them increase productivity by as much as 22%. He's been doing this for a very, very long time. Jed is an award-winning coach who has written over 22 books and has helped 100 authors clarify their message. We're talking about message. Look at this message. Helping them to clarify their message, define their audience, and make consistent progress toward their goals. He specializes in assisting entrepreneurs in applying common strategies to their work and home lives so that they can make rapid progress and truly thrive. Jed is a licensed, you hear this? My man has his license, not just a driver's license. He is a licensed marriage and family therapist, adjunct professor, coach, and author. And we're excited that Jed is joining us here. Jed lives with his wife and his 4 daughters and a hyperactive cat. And he's going to talk about that soon. Jed, thank you for joining me in the Bomb Shelter today. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you for having me. I think that was by far my favorite introduction ever. I love the energy. This is going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. Jed, before I begin, I know we got a couple of things in common. I think you're living in the Midwest. I think that you're a marathon runner. I think we have a couple of things in common, bro, and I'm so excited that you're going to join us. Let our listeners know where you're calling in from, and then also let us know how are you doing. I like to check in with people because we do have a pandemic. I think you might have heard about it. If you didn't hear about it on the debates, you heard about it maybe somewhere else. So, Jay, let us know where you're calling in from, and let us know how you're doing.
Love it. Well, I'm calling in from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Now, you need to know about me. I was born and raised in San Diego. We've been here. We're going on our 4th year So this is new to me.
Now, when you talk about new, Jenny, you talk about the cold. You talk about the cold?
I'm talking about the cold. Yeah. When my wife Jenny said, hey, let's move to Minnesota. You know, we can get a great house there. We'll be close to my parents. Great place to live, you know, raise the kids. You've just got to know that it snows. I said, that's great. I love snow. Because my San Diego snow experience was, you know, like 32 degrees, sunny, snowmen, great for sledding. That is not Minnesota. I am still adjusting to this. It is so cold. You walk outside and your face hurts weather.
Mm.
But it's been good. Mm. And you asked me how I'm doing overall. You know, overall, life is good. I think it's chaotic and crazy at times, especially with four kids. We got a foster daughter now. So I am now, we got five girls and the crazy cat. And it is a juggling act, a balancing act with school and online learning and everything that's going on.
Yeah.
But it's also very, very good. Our family's healthy, happy, we're connected. And so overall, we are blessed.
Well, I am so honored that you decide to hang out with me today in the bomb shelter. From a Midwesterner to a Midwesterner, you know, welcome. I love San Diego. San Diego is one of my favorite places. I know a lot of people get caught up in the LA, you know, that whole LA, you know, that California feel. I love San Diego. I love the water. I love this close to Mexico. I went to school in Mexico. I just love the energy that's there, always vibrant. And so I know you're going to bring that same type of energy. Let me just tell you, but Minnesota ain't nothing to play with, man. A lot of folks from Chicago move up to Minnesota for a variety of reasons, but I wanted to stay away from the cold, and you're so right. The cold in Minnesota is totally different from the cold in San Diego. And then, man, you have four girls and you married. Tell me the cat is a male.
Cat is a female. Now, finally, my 11-year-old daughter said, Daddy, I want a guinea pig. And I was so excited when she came home from the store with a male guinea pig. So it is now the numbers are starting to shift. I got one in my favor.
And it's not saying that we don't like the female energy in the space, but one of my good friends, he same way, has three children, is married to his wife, dog is a female. He was like, and the cat, and he was like, man, I just need to leave the house sometime just to have some conversations with some men, just to have some of that male energy. So I love the balance of that. And, you know, of course we can make fun of that, but we like that female energy. Man, my producer sent me a lot of great stuff about you. And I know some people are confused, like he's a life coach, he's a therapist, he's talking about couples, he's talking about relationships, he's talking about writing books and making money. You know, is he all over the place? Let me just tell you, Jed is not all over the place, and it's making a lot of sense. And the more and more I'm reading about the things that were sent to me from my great producer, it's really, really making more sense. So Jed, how did you become interested in helping couples better their relationships? Why couples? Why not single folks that are single? Why couples?
Yeah, you know, it really ties into my own story and my own journey. And this whole personal growth, personal development adventure started when I was a junior in high school.
Mm.
My mom got me Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Man, you had a very special mother. Let me just tell you, junior, let's back up. Shout out to your mother. Who in a ham sandwich buys their junior kid in high school a book like that? She was already preparing you for greatness. So, mom, hey, you got your son on the right path, reading great, great books, junior year. You don't even want to know what I was reading my junior year. Had nothing to do with winning anything except sports.
Love it. Well, on that note, I've got to tell you one unique twist my mom put to this. So here I am, junior in high school, I'm broke. And she looks at me and said, hey, Jed, every time you read this book, I'm going to give you $10.
Okay.
She said, I don't care how many times you read it. You can read it again. And I'll tell you, I still have that copy sitting on my bookshelf right there. There is no cover on it. I've got it underlined in highlighter, black pen, blue pen. I don't know how many times I've read that. I have a suspicion there were times when I wanted to go out with some friends and I knew it was coming. I was like, how can I get $10? I saw that book. And I'm like, oh, here we go. But it paid off because that wisdom, that information sunk in. And it was like this light bulb moment where I was like, oh, there's things that I can do to influence the relationship. It's not all chance. It's not all hit or miss. Now, it's not all 100% either, because we all know, you know, it takes two people to make a healthy relationship work. But there are things I can take 100% responsibility for. And if I do those things, there's a greater chance our relationship's going to move in the right direction. I started learning that in high school, and today I believe that more than ever. So it's really been a cool journey.
I love that story. But why did your mother choose that book? And what was going on in your life junior year? I'm thinking about junior prom. I'm thinking about dating. I'm thinking about sports. I'm thinking about hanging out in the city. I'm thinking about all the things that a quote unquote typical teenager. And Jay, let me just say, I don't bring typical people on this podcast, and that's why you're here. So what was it about that book that your mother was like, I think my son needs to read this book? And then did you let your friends know that you were reading this book? And if so, how did they respond to it?
Yeah, so first thing to know, and great question, by the way, first thing to know is that my sophomore and I would say even first half of my junior year, man, they were a train wreck. And some high schoolers, you know, they have it together. They're doing well in school. I did well in school up until probably about the sixth grade. Seventh and eighth grade were a little bit rougher. Ninth grade started going downhill. And by the time I hit my sophomore year, man, it was pretty much disaster. My parents were confused. And I've got to tell you, I was confused too. You know, my grades were dropping. I started hanging out with people who weren't doing well in school, but as my grades dropped, I thought, man, I can't do this. I'm not a good student. I can't learn. I didn't know what was going on. Well, about the middle of my junior year in high school, I'm telling my parents, hey, I can't sleep. I'm feeling anxious. Something's going on. And so finally, they take me to the doctor. Doctor says, Jed, I want to try something. Hold your hand out. So I hold my hand out straight in front of me. He pulls out a sheet of notebook paper, puts it on my hand, which immediately shakes off and floats to the floor. It's like, Jed, keep that piece of paper on your hand. And he already knew what was going on. I think he was trying to prove his point to me and to my dad, who was right there in the room with me. Again, he places that notebook paper on the floor, shakes right off. He said, Jed, your heart's beating at 160 beats a minute. You're in here running a marathon. This is why you can't pay attention in class, why you can't sleep, why you can't focus. Now, there's a little teeny tiny gland in our neck called the thyroid, regulates our heartbeat. I had Graves' disease or hyperactive thyroid. And so a lot tied into that. You know, as a psychology professor, I know we're biopsychosocial beings. I use this story whenever I teach general psychology, just to show how our biology ties into our thoughts, ties into our friendships, because that's exactly what was happening. My biology was off. I would sit in class on a warm San Diego day, you know, and everybody else in the room, they're a little bit hot. I'm pouring down sweat. I'm like, man, what on earth is going on, you know? Everybody else is a little antsy as the teacher is talking. I can't sit still. Well, of course, when your heart's running a marathon, it's hard to listen to anything your teacher is saying. And so that tied into my thoughts, into my psychology, because as my grades started to drop, I told myself, I can't do this. I'm no good at this. I'm no good at school. My friendships, you know, which used to be students who were doing well in class, well, suddenly I didn't fit in. And so I started finding this new crowd. And it all started with this tiny little gland in my neck, which is crazy, right?
Wow.
And then as soon as I got that biology back in balance, everything else began to change. And so I know we're here to talk about relationships. And to tie this into relationships, really, sometimes small things can make a big difference. And shifts in one area tie into another and another and another. And so one of the things that I love to help people do, individuals and couples, is to start that spiral upwards. I know about that because, man, my junior year in high school, I was on that downward spiral. And so I think that's why my mom gave me that book, is she said, hey, I see what's going on. And we've got to find a way to reverse this.
Jed, that was
I started diving into that.
That was such a great story, man. I just want to pause for a second and just honor you sharing that, because I know that there are many young people who might not listen to the show, but their parents listen to the show, who are struggling with a lot of things. You know, I'm in education. I'm working at 100 schools a year, not physically now because of COVID, and trying to help young people unpack some of the issues. And a lot of times they think it's just, you know, I'm just being defiant, just being disrespectful. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in what's going on in class. You know, all of those things. And so I want to just honor you for sharing that, because somebody out there's child or somebody out there is actually needed to hear that message. And that message really resonates with me, with the kids that I work with. And also this carries over. And I love how you connected, because this carries over into your own personal relationship. I think quite often when people like us who are speakers, who've written books, who've traveled all over the country, who are talking about what they do, we never get a chance to share our stuff. And that's why I sort of wore the shirt today in honor of what we were going to be talking about, that it's okay to be your own selfie. And at the time, you were trying to figure out what that was. You're like, I don't even know what my selfie is, because, you know, I have all this pressure from my kid, my friends, my peers, my enemies, my teachers, my parents, my family members who might be doing well, more better than me academically, my sister and brother in the house. So I love how you made that connection, and it makes a lot of sense. And when you're talking about relationships, man. Did any of that have an effect on your own personal relationships with individuals? And then how did you sort of handle when you got this diagnosis? How did you handle that? And then did it carry over to other relationships with folks that you were dating and then eventually marrying?
Yeah. So the story just keeps building from here. Because I was kind of going in that downward spiral, my parents were looking for, really, I would say anything to help pull me out of that. And part of it was pulling me from public school, putting me in homeschool. So I really got connected to a whole new crowd. Now, here's the other slight twist. I come from a Christian background and got put in pretty evangelical Christian homeschool. And about that time, there's a book that came out called I Kiss Dating Goodbye. Have you heard of it before?
No, what's the name of it again?
So it's called I Kiss Dating Goodbye. Mm-mm. And people who haven't heard of the book, really haven't heard of it. And this whole idea is kind of foreign and new. But people who've been a part of this will immediately know what I'm talking about. Because it was a best-selling book. And really, kind of a big thing in the dating and relationship movement in the 1990s. So it came out of this purity movement, which said, we're going to save sex for marriage, but took it one step further. Kind of said, any type of dating or relationship is dangerous because it could lead to premarital sex, violating the wedding vows. We don't want to go there. And so not only are we going to kind of stay away from the edge of the cliff, so to speak, we're going to get so far back, we're not even going to date. You know, we're going to do this thing called courtship. And really only with the intention that we're courting somebody that we're going to marry. And here was the challenge with that. By the time I got into college, I knew almost nothing about relationships. You know, I knew what I learned in how to win friends and influence people. Mm-hmm. I knew how to have good friendships, but I didn't know how to date. Mm-hmm. And I did get married. And it just crashed and burned. Again, another train wreck. And for me, that was that defining moment of, man, I've been to college. I've been to seminary. I thought I knew how to do relationships well. Crashed and burned. I'm missing something. And that was kind of this aha moment of, I just don't know what I don't know. And for me, with a mom who loved books, my journey again went back to books, everything I could read about relationships, you know, good, bad, and ugly. And I said, I've got to figure out how to do this right. That led me back to the same school, this degree in counseling and psychology. And again, having this aha moment of, man, just like there's key relationship principles I can use to make friendships work, there's things I can do to make a marriage work and make it work really, really well. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, when I met Jenny almost 11 years ago now, you know, the first time I saw her was a wow moment, and it has not stopped yet. She is absolutely amazing. So anybody who's been on that journey, whether it's been good, bad, or ugly, I've been there, and I know there is always hope.
Oh, I love that. Always hope. And this show is about hope, hope, hope. But I always tell people this, Jen, hope is not a strategy. We got to do the work, right? And so then what can a couple do right now to improve their marriage?
Yes. Love that question. And so I think it's taking marriage and relationship and thinking about it a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. Now, I've got 5 girls in the home right now. They love to cook. And a couple months ago, they were watching a baking show, something on Netflix, and they had their friends over. Like, hey, Daddy, can we do a bake-off? Well, Mom wasn't home, and a little dangerous territory, but I thought, okay, this will be fun. Sure, go ahead. Whatever you find in the car, just go for it. Have your bake-off. So they take this seriously. They pull out their laptop computers. They look up the recipe. They start baking their, you know, little mini cakes. And we're getting towards the end. They're like, Dad, you be the judge. I'm like, all right, this is going to be fun. And I'm tasting the different cupcakes. My daughter, 13-year-old daughter, brings one to me. Looks good. Take a bite of it. Frosting hits my tongue. Man, it is sweet. It is good. I start chewing. Something feels a little bit off. I keep chewing more. Something's really off. I'm like, oh, what is that? I've just got to spit it out. Her friends are like, let me try it. Same reaction. Face lights up when they bite into it. Frosting is amazing. Cake kind of hits her tongue. It's good. Then there's something in there. And we're like, what is that? Well, here's the deal. Kate called for a teaspoon of baking powder. She put in a tablespoon. And man, that threw everything off. And so here's something we intuitively know. Man, if you don't like the way the cake tastes, you've got to change the recipe. Now, if you don't like the way the relationship tastes, if you don't like the way the relationship's working, man, you've just got to change the recipe. And cool thing is that can be empowering. Because, man, 2 people, we're both going to bring our different sets of ingredients to the relationship. But I've got my ingredients. I've got my things that I can pour into the relationship. And when I start pouring in good ingredients, we start tasting that. Our loved one tastes that. A lot of times that's going to be the catalyst for them moving forward too. A lot of times in relationships, it's all about pointing the other finger, you know, saying that person's the problem. But the cool thing is there's so much that we can take responsibility for. Does that make sense?
I love the metaphor of like, I tasted the cake as you were talking, but also when you start saying she added too much, was it baking powder, baking soda? Into it, I could sort of, my tongue was like, So I'm thinking about the metaphor of a relationship and what it means to be able to take something out and pull something out and then maybe add something extra. Because quite often what people don't realize, when you come into a relationship, be it an intimate relationship or partnership, you're bringing a lot of history. You're bringing history and you're bringing in people into the relationship that your significant other did not even know. You bring in your uncle's baggage, your aunt's baggage, your grandmother's baggage, your cultural baggage, your gender baggage. You're bringing all of those things. So then what are some tiny habits? Because I love the concept of habit. What are some tiny habits that you discovered from working with your own relationship in business and as a family man that you can share with our listeners that will help improve and make a better relationship, help your relationship improve? Because we know right now during this COVID pandemic, and again, you know, I think the president or the vice president talked about it during the debates about what's happening during COVID. They talked about high anxiety. They talked about crime. They talked about social unrest, but then they also talked about relationships breaking apart. So what are some of those tiny habits that we can start doing right now to improve our relationships?
Absolutely. I love this concept of tiny habits because this has been a game changer for Jenny and I. And so I would say the most important habit, you know, if we're looking for one ingredient that we're going to add to the cake, man, it is connection. Just moments of connection. And I would say tiny moments of connection scattered throughout the day.
Like, give me a couple of examples of a tiny connection throughout the day.
Awesome. All right, so let's get real quick. I love writing, and I told you I've written 22 books. Started about 6 years ago, and my wife Jenny is super patient because, you know, I am not a professional writer. I did not go to school and train for this. I don't have a writing office away from home. The way I write, I wake up at 5 a.m, brew a pot of coffee, sit down at the sticky dining room table, open my laptop, and I type away. So we're a couple years in, and Jenny says, "Jed, I love that you write. But every time you write, man, you tune out the entire world. It's like the kids don't exist. I don't exist." Now, I know I do this. I've got kids at home. It's the only way to get writing done, right? You know, especially with young kids, I've got to go into my writing bubble. But she's telling me, "Jed, I don't feel like you care about me." Now, here's where we've got to get out of the judgment. Because the heady part of me wants to say, "That's ridiculous, right? Of course you're more important than any book that I write." That's not going to solve the problem. This is not about what I think. It's about my wife and how she feels. So here's the tiny habit. One, habits need a trigger because it's so tough to remember to do the tiny things we're supposed to do. So I said, here's what I'm going to do. First time I see Jenny in the morning, that's my cue. Going to shut my laptop, stand up, go over, and just take a moment to connect. I'll tell you, sometimes our connection moment is a minute long. Sometimes it's 5 to 10 minutes, but it's made a huge difference. Since that moment, Jenny's never again said, "Hey, I feel like you're tuning me out. I don't like it when you write." She's my biggest fan. Now, she's always been more important than any book that I've ever written. Now she feels more important. And I think that's the key, is putting these tiny habits in place so that our spouse or loved one really connects with us and connects that, "Oh, I really am loved." Does that make sense?
And I love that, because in partnerships and in relationships, it's not just about the person, the giver. It's about sort of the receiver. If the receiver is saying, "This is what I need," and the giver is like, "Well, that's not... that, you know, that's it, that's not what I want to give," but the giver is saying, the receiver is saying, "But this is what I need," then we need to sort of support them in that. And I think a habit, when we talk about studying habits, it takes a long period of time to sort of unpack the other habit, to then change the habit to replace it with something else. So I love the fact you said to yourself that, "You know I love you, and I'm showing you with all this other stuff," but in her eyes, or in her mind, she's creating something different. I love how you talked about, you know, this whole concept of judgment, because that judgment can go in any direction. I was reading today in A Course in Miracles, one of the books that I read, and today I was just talking about judgment and how you can create stuff in your head. Like when she made the statement, "You don't love me," then you start thinking like, "I don't love you. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing that." But at that moment, this is what that person needed. And then I think if we sort of learn to say, "Well, let me remove myself, let me put my ego to the side and say, if this is what my partner, significant other, someone I'm in a relationship with, business or relationship with, or an intimate relationship, if this is what they're saying that they need and I can give it to them, then why not give it to them?" Why do people then tend to do the opposite and sort of hold back and say, "Girl, you see I'm over here typing. I don't have time to come and give you a hug or give you a kiss." What do you say to those individuals who are on that end of saying that spot where they're like, I don't have the time to do that right now?
Yeah, great question. My first response is, been there, done that. So you're not alone.
We all have. And I know people right now are moving close to the speaker because they're like, "I want to hear what Jed has to say," because I'm dealing with that right now as I'm driving in the car, listening to this podcast, or as I'm making a pot of coffee, and my significant other is saying the same thing. So what do you say to that person who's like sort of stuck and like, I don't have that time to give right now?
Yeah. So the first thing to know is that defensiveness almost never solves anything. In fact, John Gottman, you know, a relationship researcher I love and highly, highly respect, he's put defensiveness down as one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. He says, man, when that's in a relationship regularly, that kind of signals the end's near. So whenever I feel my guard going up, I feel myself going to getting in that defensive mode. For me, that's a cue to pause. And I'm not perfect at it. I'm working on this. But I think we can, again, create awareness within ourselves of, man, I'm feeling defensive right now. And pause and stop and ask, what's going on? Where is that coming from? And if we can take that defensiveness and switch it to curiosity, that's a huge win.
I love that curiosity. I love the concept of curiosity. There's a guy who I love and I study a lot. His name is Parker Palmer, and he created what they call the touchstones. And he says, in one of the touchstones, he says, when the going gets difficult, turn to wonder. And wonder is that curiosity. I wonder why he needs this right now. I wonder why she needs this. And we have to admit, Jed, we're not always on. Like, we're not always on, even though we're experts in certain fields. I always tell people, I'm really not an expert. I'm just maybe study a little more hours than the next man or woman. Because just like you, I go through the same challenges. But I think that curiosity is really important, that what they would call, quote unquote, that pregnant pause. And I'm learning that with all the relationships that I'm dealing with right now, because I know during this pandemic, and I'm going to talk about the pandemic because many of us are rethinking a lot of things. We're in these spaces, physical spaces, and that we can't get away from because either our house is too small, our apartment's too small, or, you know, we're taking care of people that may be sick. So, you know, I think that that moment of pausing that you just shared, getting that moment of clarity, or you said that moment of curiosity, I think is really, really important during these times, because we're learning, we're relearning our partners because of COVID. We are, because we're in, like, I'm on a plane typically once a month. Now that's stopped. So now I'm almost forced to have relationships with individuals that are near me. Before, I could from a distance, but now it's like I'm in your face. And so with that being said, what are you seeing as some of the most challenging times, or what are some of the most significant challenging relationships that you're seeing face today? What are some of the challenges that you're seeing today that might have been different, you know, pre-COVID? Or you may say it really hasn't shifted. What are some of the similarities that you're seeing in relationships with individuals that you're working with?
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, I wish I could say it hasn't shifted, but man, the whole world shifted.
Yes.
And so if I was going to narrow it down to one thing, like, that's so easy to answer. It's everywhere. It's in our home. It's in our kids. It's in our school. It's in the news every single day. And it's just the fact that everybody's stress has gone up. I already talked about this at the beginning of the show, but it's really coming back to it full circle, that we are biopsychosocial beings. Man, that little thyroid gland in my neck, it caused me to do some strange stuff. Well, I'll tell you, stress is the same way. It causes people to do weird things. As a general psychology teacher, we talk about the diathesis stress model of mental illness. Basically, it says this: diathesis is a genetic propensity. We've all got a genetic propensity for something. Anxiety, depression, schizophrenia. The stress part says we've got a certain threshold. When that threshold goes up too high, that's when the symptoms kick in. And so here's a real world example of this. Man, flipping through the news, I'm fascinated with how many people are getting pepper sprayed. Pepper sprayed over the mask issue. Like, I'm seeing this pop up all over the news. California, my hometown, you know, guy eating out with his wife at the dog park of all places, not masked up. Picture of somebody that looks like this sweet little old lady and sees this guy without a mask. It offends her, upsets her. I don't know why, but it sounds like she just went up, reached in her purse, and bam, pepper spray right in the face. A couple days later, employee at a grocery store, you know, goes up to an older gentleman who's not wearing a mask, asks him to put it on. He gets mad, takes his shopping cart, kind of rams it into her as she's walking away. Of course, same story. She gets mad, pulls out her pepper spray, bam, right in the face. And I'm like, what on earth is going on? What planet am I living on?
Yeah.
But then it all ties together. This is stress. And if you're seeing this in your marriage, congratulations, you're normal. If your loved one is snippier, snappier, anxiety is higher, they're yelling more, tears are flowing easier, well, probably it's due to just kind of this stress buildup. I would say a lot of us feel like when we're at work, we've got to hold it together. But man, we come home after 8 hours of work and holding it together and being stressed, that's about all we can bear. And you're like that volcano waiting to erupt. And so I think that's what we're seeing in relationships is really the impact of this stress buildup.
And it is high. Believe me, it is at an all-time high. And I know what else is at an all-time high are these reoccurring arguments, Jed. You know, what do you have to say to our listeners who are constantly dealing with these reoccurring arguments over and over and over again that's never solved, never resolved, and it keeps coming up every other day, every year, every month, every holiday, every season, every Super Bowl, every NBA championship, every soccer game, this reoccurring arguments coming up? You know, how do you help people in this who's dealing with this, you know, nonstop? How do you help them deal with this reoccurring argument so we can, you know, get back to quote unquote a norm, get back to a better and stronger relationship?
Absolutely. So it reminds me of the older gentleman who went to go see the therapist and says, man, every time my wife and I argue, she gets historical. Therapist corrects him, says, you mean hysterical, right? And he's all, no, historical. She brings up everything from the past. I think there's a lot of couples that do that. You know, they're caught in that reoccurring argument. They bring in history. It's the same thing over and over. And so two things. One, let's start with the mindset shift. And then two, let's go into the strategy to kind of break that cycle. And so the mindset shift is this. If you're in reoccurring arguments, again, congratulations, you are normal. This comes from John Gottman's research, who says, man, there's a good percentage of problems that just can't be resolved. They're grounded in our fundamental beliefs, desires, ways we were raised. And so couples tend to argue about the same things over and over again. And a lot of times they don't reach a resolution they both agree on. And that's okay. You can still have a happy relationship with that. And so the mindset shift is, man, the grass isn't greener on the other side. We've got to get out of that mode that says, oh, I married the wrong person because we're in these reoccurring arguments and we're the only couple that is. And if I found somebody new, well, that wouldn't happen. Well, John Gottman says, hey, I've researched this. I've looked at the facts. This is what couples do. You can go find somebody new and you're going to be in the same place over and over again. And so, first of all, let's get that off the table. This isn't weird or strange or odd or unusual. And then let's look at, hey, what can we do to break this cycle? Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense because many of us are caught up in cycles. We've seen relationships fail. We've seen some relationships be successful. But for the most part of us, many of us have not seen relationships work. And then we say that I am not going to have a relationship like mother and father and grandfather and grandmother. But we become what we see over and over and over again. Walk us through, as we begin to sort of wrap up, walk us through some things that we should start looking at or some questions that we should start asking ourselves about our relationship. And what are some things that we should start looking at that's already occurring in our relationships so we can have, as we move into this new year eventually, so we can have a high-performance relationship? So what are some questions I should be asking myself? And then what are some questions that I should possibly be asking my partner in our relationship so we can have a high performing relationship?
Absolutely. So here's the tool for getting out of that cycle and hopefully doing it fast. It's what works for us. Can't guarantee that it works for everybody. But Jenny's the genius and mastermind behind this. Now, if you're a Monopoly player, man, Monopoly's got a get out of jail free card. Another tool that's used, especially if you like romance novels, mysteries. There is a woman who will, man, she catches herself with the bad attitude. She will literally yell out, plot twist. And from that moment on, the attitude changes. For Jenny and I, we use the word do-over. Because man, there's moments where my attitude, it stinks. I know a ton of psychology. I know the tools I'm supposed to use. I'm just not using them. And we're in that negative cycle. And I have this aha moment of, man, we're in a negative cycle. I'm contributing a lot to it. And I just call a do-over. Just say, all right, I'm going to stop fighting now. Do-over. And from this moment on, I'm taking 100% responsibility for my attitude. And now Jenny and I have this agreement. Man, when we call do-over, we know it's this other person's stressed. We're just going to let it go. Man, both of us, because of the chaos that's going on, there's times where we say something and after the words leave our mouth or 5 minutes later, it is like, man, that was really stupid. What did I say? You ever done that?
Man, I wish that there was an app where you could just sort of pull that back in. Not only just words that you've said, do you wish you could pull back in, but text messages that you've sent where you could be like, oh, what made me say that? Where did that come from? Because we all have been there.
Yeah. So 2020, this is history in the making. I mean, this is the year that my grandkids, they're going to read in their history books and they're going to study about the year, man, COVID caused everybody to shelter in place. Going to study about, man, this extremely polarized election. There's so much going on. And so to have that agreement of, man, both of us, we're probably going to have moments where we look back and be like, that was stupid. Mm-hmm. Instead of holding on to that of, hey, honey, remember when you did that? It is. You got to get out of jail free card for that. Man, this is a year of history in the making. We're going to expect that there's going to be moments of acting out of character. And when that happens, we're just going to say, yep, that's forgiven. We're extending grace. We're done with that because we don't need that this year. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And so as we begin to wrap up, I want to put my listeners in contact with you. I want them to have a conversation with you. I want them to follow you. I want them to read the 22 books that you've written. So, Jed, how can my listeners get in contact with you?
Yeah, I appreciate that. So my central hub is my website, which is ithrive320.com. So the words ithrive, numbers 320.com, and all my books are on there. I've got a few mini courses. I'm blogging weekly. And then do coaching as well. So would love to get in contact and connect.
Well, listen, I told you, bringing on Jed Jerchenko was going to really help us unpack our own personal relationships in our business and also in our own intimate setting. Jed, what are some things that, final question for you. Actually not the final question because the super bomb question is going to be coming up next. But what are some creative things that partners can do during this time of quarantine? We know that we're going, quote unquote, into the second phase, whatever that's supposed to mean. We don't know what that means. But what are some creative things that you can provide for our listeners to do with their significant other that they might not have been able to do before the pandemic?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, going back to the mindset shift, it is not all that hard to be creative today. Mm-hmm. I was talking to an older gentleman who said, hey, other day I stopped at the grocery store to pick up some flowers for my wife just because. He said, bought them. Young clerk looked up, looked at me, looked at the flowers, looked at me, said, dude, what'd you do? Kind of with that intent of, oh, they're trying to get out of the doghouse.
Judging spirit, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was like, no, these are just because. I think there's fewer and fewer people just doing those tiny things. So man, Get your loved ones flowers just because. Write a note just because. Go out on an impromptu coffee date, impromptu dinner date. Go eat your food, drink your coffee in your car if you have to. Jenny and I are doing this every single week. We love it. You know, drive through Starbucks, park in front of the lake, and just slow down, sip our coffee together. I'll tell you, when there's five kids in the home, just 30 minutes alone in a parked car to get, like, both breathe and talk and connect, it is awesome. So I would say, you know what fills your loved one's tank. Do that.
There you go. We gave you some strategies. And so I appreciate you for joining me today. But before we let you go, my favorite part of the show is called the Super Bomb Questions, and they're brought to you by Mountain Made, and I'm so excited that they're one of our new sponsors. So I have a couple of questions for you. You need to answer them as quickly as possible. So are you ready?
I'm ready. Speed round. Here we go.
All right. So here we go, Jed. What is your favorite word?
Favorite word is enthusiasm.
What's your favorite quote?
Favorite quote is, do the work and you'll get there when you get there.
What do you wish you had more time to do?
Wish I had more time with my wife and kids. They are awesome.
What is the best or most worthwhile investment you've ever made?
Best and most worthwhile investments are vacations with the family. I love those.
What's your spirit animal?
Spirit animal is Spider-Man. Don't know if that counts, but that's my answer, and I'm sticking with it.
We'll take that. What is your superpower?
Superpower is really slowing down to listen and connect with others. What I love to do.
Wow. If you were in the Mr. America talent competition, what would your talent be?
If I was in the Mr. American Talent Competition, my talent would be, I'm going to go with speed reading.
What brings you to tears of joy?
Tears of joy, spending time with my family, watching them succeed, getting to laugh together.
What brings you to tears of sorrow?
Tears of sorrow, again, ties back to the family. Anytime I feel like I let them down, there's very little that feels worse than that.
Well, Jed, I want to thank you for hanging out with me today. Jed Jerchenko, amazing guy. Check out his books. Go to his website. If you're struggling with your relationship, you want to talk to him. Or if you need to spark a new fire in your relationship, reach out to Jed. Or if everything is okay and you just want to continue to build a high-performing relationship, Jed is the person. Jed, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. It's been an honor.
And I also want to thank my amazing, amazing engineer, Alexander Blanc, my super duper producer, Nicole Klimpaka, Supremacy for our theme music, and all of you for listening. I cannot do this without you. If you want to know more about me, go to drdrlds.com. I want to thank my friends at Friends First in Colorado for the shirt, my shirt that I'm wearing today. Be your own selfie, and also subscribe to the channel. Check us out. Go online. And as always, be a blessing to somebody else. Do something for someone other than yourself today. And thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to Sound Bombing. Peace.
The Super Bomb Questions are brought to you by Mountain Made CBD. Mountain Made is changing the CBD game by offering a line of high-dose CBD tablets at an affordable price. Their products are THC-free and third-party tested for accuracy, cleanliness, and potency. Their products, which ship nationwide, include Build for CBD saturation, Boost for precision titration, and Recover for rest and rehab. With 9 years experience in hemp and fitness, Mountain Made's founders are focused on creating a quality product to help those who live an activated lifestyle. Check out mountainmade.life. Again, that's mountainmade.life to find out more about how their products can help you crush life. Remember, Their products ship nationwide. Go check out their website today and follow them on social media at Mountain Made. That's the at symbol MNTMADE. Our staff at Sound Balming uses Build before a morning workout, which helps to push our bodies to a whole new level on a daily basis. Try Build, try Boost, try Recover. Our staff is using these products to enhance our active lifestyle naturally, and we are crushing life with Mountain Made CBD. And you can too. Start today by going to mountainmade.life and ordering Build, Boost, Recover, or the multitude of other products that they have which will enhance your lifestyle. I promise you, you won't regret it.